trust in His Word. Amen.
Expecting God to come among us in a special way.
Amen.
I think that's why we came here tonight. Amen. So let's just expect a miracle.
Amen.
One of the greatest miracles, sure, is healing of the body, but one of the greatest miracles is taking a mortal man and God speak through him.
Amen.
And talk to you and me personally, individually. To me, that's a miracle.
That's right.
Is to have a preacher stand behind the pulpit and yield himself to the Lord and let the Lord do the speaking.
Amen. Amen.
So good to be here. Keep remembering Brother Dale. He's y'all. I sent the update out, so y'all should all got it. He's doing better.
Amen.
He's not on his oxygen 100%, and his oxygen levels are staying up. So he's getting out and about, walking, eating like a horse. I walked into the kitchen this morning at about 7:30, and I thought I was going to have to wake him up. Well, he'd already been up and done. There was remnants of eating stuff on the table. I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Got hungry." So that, hey,
that's good.
That's good. That's good. That's good. And he's looking better every day. So keep him in prayers. Also remember, Terrence tested positive today. So remember him in your prayers. He'll be quarantined for 10 days, and Sister Lisa will be for 14, just to make sure everything's good. He's resting. I don't know any more about symptoms, but he'll be fine. He's good.
Amen.
So let's just keep him all in your prayer. And also remember one special request, Brother Ryan. He said, "Please pray for my co-worker, Ronnie. He's been diagnosed with lung cancer." So we know a God that when you say that word, He never gets nervous.
All right. Amen.
I love what the angel told Brother Branham. Said, "Nothing will stand in your way, even cancer."
Right. Amen.
So the angel took that cancer and shrunk it way down to every other little common ailment that Brother Branham prayed for. So that God's still here.
Amen.
That God didn't leave. That God's still right here.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And we thank you for all your prayers for the pastor and for mom and now for Brother Terrence, Sister Lisa. Pray that the Lord will provide for them. So I know we all have unspoken requests. Remember also Sunday will be just one service. We're going to be doing this for a little while. I talked to Dad this morning. He said, "Go ahead as you are. We'll have the ministers preach on Wednesday, other ministers, and I'll do the Sunday service. Starting at 10 o'clock, and we'll just have the one service, and then we will go home. And then we'll still do the social distancing and still wear masks." So just remember that. Don't have to announce it anymore for a while. As long as we stand up here, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that for probably a little while longer until we get all this cleared out. So we're just going to pray that it'll all just we'll all be protected.
Amen.
And let the Lord protect each and every one of us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you give us and the hour that we're living, Lord. Because truly this is a dark time for the world. The world's nervous. Lord, they don't know what to do. But Father, we know who holds tomorrow. We know who holds our future. And Lord, you held us in the palm of your hand before the foundation of the world. And you gave us a Bible to listen, to read. You gave us a prophet and many other great ministers to listen to get us pressurized for this time, Lord. So we pray that all these things that are coming on the world and the different ones, Lord, that I love what the prophet told us one day, because sometimes we can have our little pity parties and we can sit in a chair and we can wonder, "Why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me?" Brother Branham said, "A cloudy day doesn't mean God's against you, but said a sunny day doesn't mean He's for you." So we just got to trust in God. He's God in the mountain, God in the valley. Lord, we pray that you just touch each one that we call, Lord, this special request for the lungs. Remember Sister Alicia's mom, Lord. We know that there's situations going on there. We pray that you just touch each one involved, be with the bride around the world. All those that are suffering from this, Lord, we pray that you would touch each one. Keep your mighty hand upon each one, Lord, as we travel through this world. until we can leave this place. And Lord, when we come back here, there will be a virus, not one. And there will be nothing to harm or hurt or destroy, the Bible says, in all your holy mountain. Father, give us a little bit of that today, Lord.
Amen.
Give us a little bit of that here, Lord, as we sit around, Lord, and listen to our brother speak to us, Lord. Let it be you speaking to us, Father.
Amen.
Use that gift, Lord, to speak to us from our brother, Lord. We pray that you just sanctify, Lord, our journeys. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a special birthday today. We're not going to talk about age, because she's probably watching in. But Sister Audrey Thomas's birthday is today. So we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Amen. God bless you, Sister Audrey. Happy birthday. You be seated.
Amen. Glory. He paid a debt for us. Amen. Amen. 398. He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Amen. Paid in full. Glorious. As the deer panteth this evening. Amen. Yes. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Let's all sing this evening.
You are my friend and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I like this. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Brother John Durrett, could you help me this evening? I appreciate you. And you may be seated. To surely in goodness shall follow me. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I should dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I should dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. What about the wings of a dove? Amen. E flat. 41 if you need spiral boat. Noah had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for
land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave him his sign on the wings of a dove. Let's all stand. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends us pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Jesus, my Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though here rejected, not from above, God gave us his sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing, amen, both night and day. Faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. On the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, sign from on the wings of a dove. Amen. We'll change over the service this evening as we came to hear the word. Amen. And to walk in it. Amen. And to become it. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love
as we sing,
holy, holy, holy.
Praise him.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. We had a nice...
How's that? Test? All right. Get everything prepared. But we had a nice time down in Mobile and had a good service Sunday morning, and they send their greetings. I carried y'all's greetings down there, and I bring their greetings back. So everybody's doing good. It's good to get to see some faces you hadn't seen in a while, you know, with all of this things going on. But, yeah, our hearts are with Brother Dale and Terrence and everything. We're just continue to pray and just believe everything will be, so tonight I just want to bring a message of encouragement and, maybe Brother Dale can look on and say with pride, it's been a long time waiting for somebody to preach a sermon like this. So, we're going to read from Exodus chapter 14. Verses 13 to 25. Before we go to the scripture, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your word and among these precious believers of like precious faith, Lord, and look into your word. And I pray, God, that you'll give us permission, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to not just look on just letters, Lord, but something that will actually come alive in our hearts. And I pray, God, that you'll let us yield ourselves to your word tonight, Lord God, and give you permission, Lord Jesus, make you welcome, Lord, to come in among us, Lord Jesus, that you might walk freely down the pews and down even the aisles of our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you might have preeminence through all the rooms in our heart, Lord Jesus, that you would just open up every door and every place, every crack and crevice, Lord, that you might come in and inspect and find anything that shouldn't be there, Lord Jesus, and just root it out.
Amen.
And be with Brother Dale and Terrence tonight, Lord Jesus, and all the other ones, Lord Jesus, that are sick and afflicted and need a touch from you, Lord Jesus, all the different ones, Lord God. We know, Lord Jesus, that you still care for us, that you haven't left us, Lord, that you're still moving amongst your people, Lord God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, the words that are said tonight will be an encouragement and a help, Lord God, to know that you're still a ever-present help in time of need and time of trouble. Thank you, Lord God. Bless the remainder of this service, we pray in your name. All right, so let's read. I told the brothers in the back, I've just got this one scripture. So maybe the rest of the evening, I do have a few quotes to read, but just tonight, just listen. And just kind of meditate on the things that are being said. And we won't really have anything to put on the board, on the screen, but just sit there and listen. And it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That sounds like a sermon right there. That would preach. What Moses just said there, that's encouraging. That's a confession and everything.
Amen.
Hold on, you're going to see all the enemy. You're going to see... all your enemies destroyed.
Amen.
But then it says, notice how kind of strange and mysterious the scripture is sometimes.
the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Mm-hmm. Must be something written between the lines here. Mm-hmm. Right. Moses said something real encouraging, it seems like, and then all of a sudden the Lord is telling him, why are you crying unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. That they go forth.
Amen.
Come on. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Now it seems like the Lord is kind of reminding Moses of what he's supposed to be doing, doesn't it? And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Amen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So tonight I want to take a text, anointed to overcome. Because, y'all know by now, I've been really trying to just take a message that Brother Brown preached and just break it down. And if it's not obvious to you yet, I'm really preaching tonight from the message, Why Cry Speak.
Amen.
And in this message, let's go ahead and jump to the point of the message. This message is really not for little baby Christians. Mm-hmm. This message is about maturity.
Right.
And you know, the whole Brother Brown's message was to bring us to maturity.
Right.
We know that the message was not supposed to give us a new, better way of being born again.
Nope.
Although it tied up the loose ends of things that we didn't understand about being born again.
Right.
But the message was given to us it was a capstone message bring to us the full revelation of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Which would bring us to maturity.
Amen.
The message is supposed to prepare us for the harvest.
Amen.
As I was sharing down there in Mobile about how the plan, God's plan for a rapture is that when the original seed is planted in the ground and it begins to grow up, that except a corn of wheat be planted in the ground, it will abide alone. But when Jesus Christ was planted in the ground by dying for us, then this wheat plant began to grow up, that began on the day of Pentecost. And you see that what we're waiting for is for that wheat plant to come to maturity, because then you can have a harvest.
Amen.
Now there's a wheat plant growing up down through the seven church ages, typing the whole bride, but there's also, you also are individual wheat plants.
Amen.
And you as an individual have to come to maturity. So that's what this message is about that I'm speaking on tonight. That to going from planting to full grain back to the original seed, when you're back to the original seed again, then you can have a harvest.
Amen.
Now, what kind of perplexes people is it to explain when can the rapture come? Well, we've got to come to maturity.
Right.
Now, so you go out into the wheat field and you see a few different sprigs of wheat or whatever, they come up to maturity, but the rest of the field is not mature yet.
Right.
Well, you can't have a harvest.
Yep.
That just makes sense as far as just natural farming.
Right.
You can't have why would a farmer go out if he's only got a couple of wheat plants come to maturity? and go and have the whole harvest. Now, he might take those few little sprigs of wheat and that have come up, and like the priest in the Bible will go out and grab a handful and wave it, offering of first fruits. Right, right. And that shows, though, that the whole rest of the wheat field is right. going to come up to it's coming to maturity. Right. So you got to wait for the whole wheat field to come to maturity. True, and Amen. Then here comes the combine.
Amen.
So this message, and you'll find out that Brother Branham says, where should the bride be right now? Mm-hmm. We should be mature.
Yeah.
We should have an understanding
Amen.
Of who we are
Amen.
And what we're doing here and what our purpose
yeah.
is. We're talking about maturity, because maturity is what's going to bring the dead from the ground.
Yeah, right.
When the bride comes to maturity, then that voice in her, the same voice that calls Lazarus from the ground, that voice in her will cause the dead saints to rise from
Amen.
The ground, because it will be like a magnet. A magnet in you, the word, pulling the word from the ground. They're the word waiting on us. Isn't that what the scripture says, that they without us cannot be made perfect? They're over there waiting on us to draw them from the ground.
Amen.
So they're waiting on us. And so many scriptures that Brother Branham said, that we think that God, that we're waiting on God, but actually he's waiting on us.
Right.
And what's he waiting on us to do is to actually get in the word. And accumulate, we'll read a little bit later, accumulate the word, just
yeah.
accumulate it and pile it on until it is actually producing something in us.
Yeah.
And I find, to me, the more I get into the message and really dig into it and find these little things, one sentence where Brother Branham says something and you just highlight, let me tell you, it's worth more than gold. I wonder, maybe if those of you that might be a little bit cold tonight and get a little bit starchy and things, if you get back into the message and just really begin to dig, you will find that it is something worth more than life itself, worth more than just anything of this natural earth. There's things in this message. This message will change you. It will actually change you, and you can look back in your life and see where you've come from and know that this message is actually having an effect. You can watch the effect that it's having on your loved ones and on people that go to church with you, and look back in their lives and see that they're not the way that they used to be, because this message will have an effect.
Amen.
I'm trying not to start crying. Now, so this scripture that we just started off with is really the end of the story tonight that I'm going to be relating. But to really tell the story correctly, you got to go back to the beginning, because Brother Branham says that there's a background in this message. He's talking about the background. Now, if you go back and listen to Why Christ Speak, it might be real tempting to just kind of play it in the background, and you hear Brother Branham saying things that, well, I've heard that so many times. But really meditate on what he's trying to say. He's trying to communicate to you something, not just about Moses' life, or if you listen to it and say, well, he's talking about himself. Well, that might be true to some aspect, but what he's really trying to communicate to you is something personal about your journey, something personal about you. Isn't that true about all of the scripture? When you look at the seals, it's fine to look at the seals historically and see how things were open to the first church, first and second and third church age, and how it moved down through history. But the seals are supposed to be something personal to you. The whole Bible, when you read it, is supposed to be something personal to you. That when you read it, you begin to see your own life identified in it. And you begin to see that Christ that you're reading about identified in your life, to know that God is not just some dead history, but it's a living, resurrected Jesus Christ. So you got to go back in this story, go back to get the background first. And we'll find Brother Branham says that Moses was born with a gift of great faith. And he says he was born to be a prophet, and he was born to be a deliverer. And he said he was born with the equipment born in him. And then he clarifies, as every man that comes into the world is born with this equipment, with the equipment to choose or to choose to believe or not to believe, the equipment to accept God's providence, to accept God's plan or turn it down. And then he said, not that God is willing that any would perish, but all might come to repentance. But being God, he had to know and does know the end from the beginning.
Right.
So he's laying all this out. Moses was born with a gift of great faith. He was born to be a prophet, a deliverer, because Moses came into the world with a special purpose. But you also have a special purpose that you are fulfilling here on this earth. Moses had a special purpose to deliver all the children of Israel, but you got to see yourself in this thing. You're not here sitting in this church just to fill up a pew, to warm a pew, but you actually have a purpose. Brother Ram said he was born in a great family. He was born of a very odd birth. You think about that. He was born in a great family. Now reflect on this. That God will put you in a home. I believe he even put Rahab, the way she turned out. He put her in a home. He put her in the place. He put her in that wall so that she would come to the place where she would be able to one day manifest the word of God for her age. Wherever you start, you might be sitting, young people, you might be saying, well, I don't want to be in the house that I'm in. I wish I had different parents. But God puts you in that place so that you would be able to manifest the word for your day. If you can just catch a hold of the promise of God for you. He said he was born in a time of persecution like Jesus. He was born to be a deliverer like Jesus. He was hid away from the enemy like Jesus. He come to his time of service. Now see, all this comes together to make a background. It's the person has a purpose, and the person is in a place, in a nation, in an age that when you see all of the things of the age and the nation come together, it's creating a background of faith that Moses, that Amram and Jochebed could look around and see that there's got to be a deliverer come on the scene, because they were looking at the circumstances of that age. They were looking at the timeline that God had promised to Abraham, that his children, his descendants, would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, and they would be in bondage. And they knew after 400 years, it had been about 400 years, and they knew that something had to come upon the scene. And Brother Branham says that he said, when the time of the promise draws nigh, it sets people to praying and hungering.
Amen.
So Amram and Jochebed began to pray and hunger and call out to God. Now think about that in your own situation, looking around at, well, we got coronavirus, we got strange things in politics, we've got all sorts of things all around the world, people in high places doing strange things. It's truly a Sodom and Gomorrah. People don't know whether they're men or women. They don't identify with anything. They'll get mad at you if you call them the wrong pronoun. The world is good. What it is, though, is the world is identified biblically. It's identified with what the scripture says it would be at the coming of the Son of Man. So if Amram and Jochebed began to hunger and something within them was yearning to see the word of God made manifest, how much more should something in us be hungering and desiring to see the word of God made manifest, to see the promises of God be birthed in us? If the Bible says that the Son of Man would be made manifest when the world is like Sodom and Gomorrah, shouldn't we be desiring to see God's fullness made manifest in our lives? Shouldn't something in us be hungering and desiring? See, now is not the time to be watching movies and playing with stuff, but now is the time to get back into the Word and see if we can find the little nuggets that maybe we've left off in our journey. Maybe we forgot what a joy it is to get in the message and find out what it really says. But now is the time to get serious with God. And Brother Brown said their prayers were exactly with the scripture. They weren't just praying some kind of willy-nilly prayers. I want a new Porsche. I want a new Cadillac or something. But they were praying for a deliverer, the deliverer that God had said would come up on the scene. They were praying according to the Bible. And he says their prayers was with the promised word. You think about how powerful Brother Graham said your prayers are. And if you can align your prayers with what the Bible already has spoken is going to come to pass, think about how much power is in the prayer of a believer to know what they're praying for, to not get down and just pray haphazardly, but to pray with a sincere confession of a believing heart. Something on the inside begins to speak. Something begins to move. And before long, it's not you speaking anymore. It's God on the inside speaking on your behalf.
And he will bring it to pass, because when his word is spoken, it will not return to him void. And Brother Branham said, God promised at that time to do it. They prayed for it, and there was a proper child born. Now you think if Amram and Jochebed could pray, and that proper child that God had promised was born, had come up on the scene through their lives, think about what you and I could do if we would get serious about God and begin to call out to God to see the capstone come in our lives, to see us grow up into the full stature of a perfect man, to come to maturity, to begin to realize our place, to become that invincible army that Brother Branham said the bride would be when she begins to realize who she is. And you see, Brother Branham said, all that background of Moses' life just began to heap up. He said, all the background begins to heap, just heaps up. And what he meant was, he said, this is going to happen. He was born this way. He came this way. He was in the scripture this way. And all that begins to heap up. And he says it accumulates together and draws a picture for us. Now, isn't that just the way that the promised word comes? It accumulates together in your heart until little by little you begin to see the picture of Jesus Christ. You begin to see the picture of redemption as it really is. And it accumulates in your heart until maybe like Paul said through it, or was it the Song of Solomon? We're looking through a lattice and we can barely see the picture. But along and along as the word is accumulated in your heart, you begin to see things as they really are. That's why you've got to get in the Word, because you cannot see who you really are. You cannot truly understand your purpose unless you are in the Word all the way. And that's why Brother Branham said the bride will be in the Word all the way. She's not going to be dabbling around with denominational ideas. She's going to be in the Word all the way to understand her purpose. Brother Branham said in spiritual food in due season, and again, they don't have this back there, But just listen. And he said, I want you to get built up now. This is one of my favorite quotes. I want you to get built up now in this holy oracles of God, in the faith of this hour. He wants you to get built up in this faith of the hour. The faith is going to take more faith than ever was in any age. For this has to be rapturing faith, be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen, heard, the word that you have preached, the signs and wonders that you have seen done. We want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider it, whether it, if that be God or not. So he's telling us he wants to accumulate all that together, accumulate just like all of Moses' background heaped up until he could look back on all that had accumulated, and it gave him faith. And Brother Branham, we'll see in a second that it actually anointed him. Amen. That looking at the circumstance and looking at his birth, looking where he came from, looking how God had dealt in his life, built up something until it accumulated faith in him. And Brother Branham said in The Power of the Devil in 1955, way back in 1955, he said, oh, if we could only accumulate that kind of faith tonight, get that kind of faith living among us. And you know, we can accumulate that. And God has given us the prescription to accumulate that kind of faith. And the way to accumulate that faith is by hearing of the word. The gospel has power in it too. When you hear it, it might come a little by little, precept by precept, line upon line. But over and over, it will begin to accumulate in your heart until you become the living, walking manifestation. Station of deity on earth again. God manifesting himself back in bride again in a bride form. Thank God I feel good tonight. And he said, and now Moses had all this as a background. So Moses knew he was sent for the very purpose to deliver the children of Israel. He said he was born with this great gifts and quality within him. Then it only taken something to flash across that to bring that thing to life. And he said the seed of God is actually placed in us from the foundation of the world. Now let's think about that. Brother Bram said so many times that you come with the seed already in you. And what, that seems like a very perplexing thing to say. Does that mean that you don't need to hear the word? Is the word already in you and you just need like an anointing to come? Listen to the way Brother Bram says this. He says he was born with this great gifts and quality within him. Listen, I want to preach on that tonight. Because listen, I believe that when you're born, God knew that you would come into the world before the foundation of the world, and He knew what your reaction to the gospel would be. He knew that you would accept it. And so before the foundation of the world, He had a plan and purpose in your life that He laid out before you. He knew, He planned out who you would be born from, what family you would be in, when you would hear the message. He had an angel with a message ready to lay it in front of you. And all it took was a light to strike that. And what did it strike? It struck something where within you was a quality God had in you. All God, I believe He was looking at you when you were born of your natural birth, saying that I know He was born, or she was born of the wrong way. But when the light strikes that individual, they're going to become the manifestation of what I had in mind for that person before the foundation of the world. I had something in mind for that person, and they were born the wrong way, but I'm going to make it so they come the right way. You see, God knew you would be, He knew you would be here. He knew the hour and the day that you would come to it. And all it took was for you to hear the gospel. And when you heard it, it was like you, that eagle in the barnyard that said, I believe it. I recognize that's my father calling me. I recognize that's the mother word, the new Jerusalem calling me. I'm born from the word. And you recognize where you came from. Not that you just recognize it and you didn't go through a birth. But you come through a birth and you realize that you weren't born, your original birth is, you, like Brother Branham said, I one day I realized I didn't come from Charles and Ella Branham, wasn't my real parents, but I come from somewhere that now I can be identified with. Brother Brown said, just like that woman at the well, that light flashed across her path. And you think about that woman at the well, that she was put there beside that well. God knew where she would be, and He was there waiting for her. He showed up at just the right time so that He could flash across their path. He is the Word, and He shone across her path, and she accepted it and believed it. Excuse me. You know the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus actually gave two explanations for the sower, the seed. And one explanation, He said, the seed that is sown into your heart is the word of God. And if you'll receive it, it gave the parable of the tares and the seed fallen by the wayside and on the stony rock and all those different things. The seed is the word of God, but in the other parable, in the other explanation that Jesus gave, He said the seed, the good seed, are the children of the kingdom. So in one sense, that seed is the word of God being sown into your heart. But in the other sense, He's sowing into the earth the individuals that He thought of before the foundation of the world. And so you see, He thought of you and He knew of you and He had a plan to bring you into manifestation. And see, all this produces a background. That's why Brother Branham is laying it out for us in this sermon. That all this produces a background of faith, that when Moses comes to the Red Sea, He's got all this background that he should be taken advantage of to know his place and his position. You see, you're not anointed just to let the devil run over to you, but you've been anointed in this age to overcome everything that the devil throws at you. And you've got the background to prove it. You've got the background to know that God has been with you from your birth. He was watching over you. He had it planned out when that light would cross your path. He knew when you would receive it, and He knew you would receive it. And you've got all that background of faith to give you faith to cross over your Red Sea experience when it comes time. He said Moses born and then brought to a place where he was anointed from intellectual conception to anointing. Moses, he started out his journey with an intellectual conception, but when the light crossed his path, he said, Brother Brandon said, notice the seed laying there with an intellectual conception, with all the faith that he was born to deliver this people and yet it never come to life until that light from the burning bush flashed across it. Until he's seen, not something he read about, but something he's seen with his eyes, something that spoke to him and he spoke back to it. Oh, how that did bring things to life. You know, I believe that every born again Christian here tonight can look back to your own burning bush experience where you met God for yourself, where the word began to come alive in you and you realized that this was not just some fable, but you were looking God in the face, that the things that you were reading about are true, that God is real and he's making his word manifest in your sight. You see, Brother Branham said God had a purpose for Moses and he has a purpose for you. And Brother Branham said, he made this little statement. He said, if you can only get to that place, how much trouble you save God and yourself too. If you can only run to that burning bush experience, if you can only get to that place, think about those of you that took a long time to get to that place. Think about how much trouble that would have saved you if you got there earlier. Think about all the troubles and things that would have saved you. And now maybe those of you that haven't yet got to that burning bush experience, think, I want you to reflect tonight. I'm preaching to you. I want you to reflect at how much trouble that could save you if you could just get to that burning bush experience. And we know that no man can come until the Father draws him, but yet the Father is drawing by his word, and the word is calling and telling you that there's a place in that burning bush for you, that God wants to see you saved, that God is drawing you if you'll just yield yourself and humble yourself and let loose of all the pride and things that may give you that haughty attitude to think, well, I'm too good for this. Yield yourself to the word and let God have his place in you. And Brother Brown said, he said, I have heard, God told Moses, I have heard the cries of my people. And I remember my promise to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I have come down, the personal pronoun, I have come down to deliver them. And Moses asked, he said, can I have an evidence? And God said, yes, I'll give you the evidence of the rod. Throw your rod down and it'll turn into a serpent. I'll give you the evidence of the sticking your hand in your breast and it bring it out, it'll become leprous. And see, Brother Brown said, from that time on, Moses had no more questions. He said, did you ever notice he never run to the wilderness again? He knew he was anointed. Now Moses had evidences. He had an evidence of the rod and his hand and all those things. But do you know that the evidence of the new birth to you, there is an evidence. And you can actually see the new birth working in your life. There's all these evidences that Brother Branham talked about. Other people can see the evidence that something has happened to you, that you've been at that burning bush, that there's been a change in your life, because they can tell that your eyes have been opened, that they're not shut anymore, that your eyes have been opened to the word. They can tell that you're speaking different, that something has happened to you. They can tell that you're walking different. And you can tell because, listen, the whole journey that Moses took, signs and wonders followed him, and signs and wonders will follow the believer. That's a promise of God. Signs and wonders will follow the believer. Now, in the spoken word is the original seed, and a lot of other messages, the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown talked about how that signs and wonders can be a deception. Maybe one of the greatest deceptions of this age. That's why we don't follow after signs and wonders as an evidence that someone is preaching right or doing right or living right. The word is our evidence. The word is what separates us and identifies us, but yet signs and wonders will follow the true word, a real correct revelation of the word. So don't ever get away from expecting signs and wonders. If we are true believers, signs and wonders will follow them that believe, because that's a promise in the Bible. God said, I'll be with you. So that settles it. He said it. And so that settles it. See, we don't have to prove it. All we have to do is believe it. I preached on that many times before. Now, you see, this whole message, Why Christ Speak, is building up to the proof of what the real genuine anointing is. That when Moses got to the Red Sea, it didn't matter if he felt something or he didn't feel something. It didn't matter, because a real genuine anointing is not based on feelings. Yeah, when you were born again, your natural birth was associated with sensations. We're a mixed audience maybe, so we're not going to get into that. but your spiritual birth had no sensation. Your spiritual birth was the Word of God being born in you, and something began to work from the inside out, and it might manifest on the outside as a sensation, as a movement, as a happening, something going on, but the birth of the Word would happen without sensation. So you see, you say, well, what is the evidence of the anointing? How do I know if I have the anointing? Brother Brown said, and where I think Pentecost failed, he said, Jesus had the greatest anointing that of any man that was ever on the earth. Is that right? He said, one day he went into the temple. They give him the scroll. He picked it up in his hand. He sat down and he read over in Isaiah where it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year. He began to identify himself in the Scripture. He began to identify and place himself in the Word. And listen, when a believer begins to identify themselves by the Word and place their life in the Word and be able to see the same things that the Scripture says would happen with a believer identified in their life, there's a real anointed believer, something on the inside, anointed by the Word, something quickened on the inside, and you may not feel it because feelings can be deceiving. You may not even see it with your natural eye because sight can be deceiving, but you can't deceive a revelation of the Word. You can't deceive a true anointing of a believer that's filled with the power of God on the inside of their heart. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year and so forth, the Jubilee year. And he took the scroll and handed it back and sat down, and precious words proceeded from his mouth. The greatest anointing that was ever in the world on the Lord Jesus. The greatest anointing, and he was not necessarily running up and down the aisle, jumping and screaming, doing things that normally is what we associate with anointing. But yet he was standing there in calm assurance, knowing who he was, knowing what his place was, knowing what his purpose was, knowing that he was not there just to fulfill some whims of the priest and the Sadducees and Pharisees of the era. But he was there to fulfill the plan and purpose for that age. Now what would it be in a real believer of this day? You see, you've got a purpose that you are here to manifest in your life. He said, we Methodists get noise confused with anointing. Noise ain't anointing. No, I've seen where there's a lot of noise and not faith enough to cure a toothache. See, you've got to come solemnly to the Father. You've got to know exactly where you're standing. That's right. You've got to know exactly where you're standing. So when you begin to accumulate all this background and accumulate all this faith, over time, you begin to know where you're standing. You begin to have an understanding of what the Word really is, what the baptism of the Holy Ghost really does, what your place is in the message, what you're really doing here. After I'm going to just share this. After I got done preaching down in Mobile, one of the young people came up to me and he said, I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I want to know what my purpose is in life. You want to know what that does to a minister to hear a young person come up and say, I want to know what God wants me to do with my life. And I told him, you get in the Word and you'll find out. God will reveal it to you. But until you know, until God shows it to you, until God places you the way he wants you to be, you just be a light. Because that is what God has predestinated every believer to be, as a light to the world, in your work, in your school, wherever you go. When you walk and talk different from everybody else, it will be an example to them. It will be a testimony to them. See, this is a story. Why Christ speak? The story of Moses coming up to the Red Sea is a story of the anointing accumulating, not dissipating. It's not a story of God leaving. It's a story of God being present. But Moses maybe not recognizing that he's still on the scene. I wonder, do we recognize that God is still on the scene in our lives? I wonder if we recognize what our purpose is. Because if you don't recognize what your purpose is, what you're doing here, you will falter when you get to your own Red Sea experience. You will begin to wonder what we're doing here. See, this message is not for little babies again. This is a message for mature individuals. And that's why sometimes it's so hard to preach, because if you're not at a stage of maturity, it can seem very confusing. So just continue to keep accumulating the word until it's not confusing anymore. Until you begin, accumulation makes the picture clear. When you accumulate the word, it will make the picture so you can see exactly how it is. Brother Bram, he got to the place where he started talking about looking back at his own life. And he began to tell all these life experiences of the boy in Finland that was raised from the dead. And how he said, if this child doesn't raise from the dead, I'm a false prophet, and killing the caribou with 42-inch horns and the silver-tipped grizzly bear and all those things. And he said, and it anoints us. It anoints us. This is a quote. When we see that we're living in the last days, to find out that all these signs that we see being taken place, that spoke of in the scripture, would take place in the last days, all the way from heaven to the political powers and the nature of the people and the demoralization of the world and among the women, and how they would do in the last days, and how the men would do, and how the churches would do, how the nations would do, and how God would do. And he says, and we see it all laying right here on us. When you begin to look and to see all these evidences, it begins to accumulate in you a faith. It begins to anoint in you that now we're actually living in a vision. We're actually walking in things that the prophets foretold. We're actually living out a vision, and you have a place in that vision because you're a part of God's plan. He said it anoints our faith. It moves us out in the great cycles. And he said we were predestinated for this hour, and there is nothing going to stop us from seeing it. My, you think about a promise like that. If you stay in the word, there is nothing going to stop you from seeing it. If you just keep walking in the word. He said, listen, as long as you're walking in the word, you actually have authority over the devil. Everybody doing all right? Amen. See, faith is recognizing your purpose. Do you see, that's where, as we get up to the end of the story, I'm not there yet. So, well, I've still got a ways to go. We got a little bit further to go. But to the end of the story, Moses faltered at recognizing his purpose. Do you see the power in that quote where Brother Ram said, when the bride begins to recognize who she is, she will be an invincible army. When we come to maturity, when the bride comes to a place of maturity, you're supposed to recognize what you're doing here and recognize your purpose, that you're not here just to be part of a lodge, that you're actually here to overcome the devil, to show the devil that there is going to be a bride in this day that will believe every word of God, that will not do like Eve and falter at one word, but she will believe all the word of God. She will believe every last word of God, and she will be able to take the Hebrews 13:8 test that says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. She'll be able to pass that test. And you see, that is what your purpose is. Your purpose is to prove to the devil that God is going to have a bride come out of Satan's Eden. Come out of where the God of this evil age has elevated himself to a place of worship, put himself at a place of maturity. God has also got his bride is coming to a place of maturity. Brother Brown said Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. And he talked about how Moses, by faith, he was watching what would be. And this is a very, I wonder if you ever really meditated on how Brother Branham explained faith in this sermon. Because usually we think of faith being something looking present tense. But here in this sermon, Brother Branham says that faith is looking watching what will be. Now think about that. Think if you're sitting there in your bed of pain, moaning with sickness and ailments, if you begin to look at what God has promised that you will be and walk into that, you will walk into what His Word says you will be. If you're sitting there in sickness and you look at what He says you will be, not what you are, you will walk into that. You see how important it is to look at what His Word says you will be as we get to the crossing over of the Red Sea, crossing over into a glorified body. You look to that, not to your present condition. You're looking to the unseen, what His Word says will be. He said, look at tomorrow instead of today. Look at the promise instead of the glamour. And then in this message, he spends maybe 15 minutes hitting on how people look at glamour, look at the magazines in the supermarket, look at the movies and things, and they try to pattern themselves after the glamour of the world. And he says, doing that, this is an extraordinary statement. Looking at the glamour of the world will paralyze your faith. But he says, don't let that paralyze your faith, but let your faith paralyze their circumstance. Amen. Now think about that. If you're looking to the promise of God in His Word, if you're looking to that, then that actually paralyzes the circumstance. Oh, that disease is creeping up your body, but looking to God's Word will paralyze that. It won't be able to move anymore because your faith is looking at God's Word. Look at God's Word and your lost children, it will paralyze the devil being able to move in their life because you're looking at what God's Word says, that there's a promise that me and my house, the promise, just like as in the days of the Israelites when they put that lamb's blood over the lintel of their door, it was for the whole house. And if you look to God's Word, it will paralyze anything that the devil can do in your house. Amen. It will paralyze what the devil's doing. See, Brother Brown said Moses' faith took the Word of God. He said faith sees what God wants done. You see where he began to falter at the Red Sea? He didn't realize, he began to falter at what God wanted done. Listen, meditate on this. As I'm speaking now, all of these things are beginning to accumulate in your heart that you must know the plan and purpose for your life in God's Word. That God wants something done. And if you can begin to get a revelation of what God wants done and stand firm on that, you can come like all the saints of old that didn't have to go pray to check up whether or not it was God's will for them to be healed, or whether or not it was God's will for after the day of Pentecost to receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go pray to check up whether it's God's will for you to do these things, because it's written in His Word. And if you'll stand upon the Word, He's already gave the promise. He's already said what He wants done with the Word. A mature believer knows what God wants done with the Word, and they begin to speak it because they know what He wants done. They believe it and they can say it. See, Brother Brown said, faith doesn't look at the present time. Faith looks to what God wants and works accordingly. Faith is a long-range vision. It sees what God wants and works through that. And then Brother Brown began to use the metaphor of a man looking through binoculars, and he said that's like somebody looking through the Old and New Testament. So if you want to have clarity on what God wants, you have to look through the Word, through the binoculars of God's Word of the Old and New Testament held up together to be able to see clearly what God wants. And see, then it becomes like reading the Bible becomes like reading tomorrow's newspaper. And it'll become like reading what God will fulfill in your life tomorrow if you just keep walking in His Word. You see, it was written that you would overcome in Revelation chapter 3, that there will be an overcomer in the age of Laodicea. It was written that your hearts would be turned back to the original faith in Malachi 4. Malachi 4 wasn't just about a prophet, but it was about your heart being turned back by the preaching of the gospel in this day. It was written that in 1 Peter chapter 2, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. That was written of you. And you see, That's God's purpose and plan for your life, is to be built up as lively stones. And it was written that you would cast out the devil in Mark 16. How would you cast out the devil? By the word, by the revelation of the word in your life. You would see the devil leaving you. By the revelation of the word, you can cast out the devil in others if they will believe your word. By the revelation of the word, God has given his church power to cast out the devil. By the word, you have authority over the devil. That is fulfillment of scripture. People in the Bible were promised something that their offspring received. And many times, you know, Abraham was promised the promised land. Paul was promised, but he promised the Thessalonians a rapture. Paul promised the Corinthians a change of the body. Jesus promised spoken word power to the disciples, and it didn't happen necessarily in that time period, but it was something that would be manifest in a later day. And now we're living in the day when all of these promises are rolling up to be gathered up, to heaped up, to be fulfilled in your life. You talk about being excited by the message. All of these promises are here for them to be fulfilled in your life. And that's the problem that Moses had there at the Red Sea. He lost sight of the fact that all those things that had accumulated up in his life, all those promises that he was there, he was predestinated to fulfill, he lost sight of his purpose and God's plan. Brother Bram said, there is no fear in faith. Moses' faith never did fear Pharaoh. He said, faith, as I've always said, it's got great big muscles and hairs on the chest. Faith said, shut up, and everybody shuts up. That's all. I know where I'm at. The rest of them say, well, now, maybe he does. With that kind of confidence speaking out, somebody that really, really believes what they're saying, that'll make everybody else turn and look. Maybe he does know what he's talking about. Right. Brother Ram said, you got to show your muscles. Right. Listen, when the devil comes around and begins to say boo to you, you got to say boo back. Right. Don't let yourself, you do not have to be run over by the devil. Right. Listen, the devil will try to run over you with complexes and things. He'll try to sit on you with a sickness and make you think, well, this is just how it is now. But there's a promise in God's word of deliverance. You don't have to let the devil run roughshod all over you. Brother Brown said, Pharaoh said, if you do this, that we'll see just so far. And he began to talk about how Pharaoh said, now let the elders go out into the desert, but don't let the people begin to get a revelation of what I'm talking about. You can just go just so far. Go out for a little way and do what your little sacrifices in the wilderness, but then come back the next day. Just go so far. Isn't that the way the devil wants us to do, is just go so far? Now we can't, like some of the young people say, we can't get the capstone until we go in the rapture. Then we'll be it. We can't ever be perfect in this life. Listen, how are you going to be perfect? The blood of Jesus Christ was given to make you perfect. Amen. He atoned for you so that you would be made perfect. It's not our righteousness that we're looking at. It's not our righteousness that God is looking at. He's looking at his own righteousness, his atoning grace, his atoning blood, that he paid the price so that we could have his perfection. Amen. He took our sin upon himself so that we could have perfection in him. Let's see, Brother Branham said the faith that Moses had didn't believe in a so far religion. He said, we're all going. All the way. And that's what I want my confession to be tonight, is that we're not going to leave any stragglers. We can say maybe like the Marines, no soldier left behind. We're all going. If you'll just yield yourself to the gospel, believe the word that's going across the pulpit, that's being said on the tape, we're all going all the way. And he said, Brother Branham said that, I'm so glad that a man can completely serve God till he, the devil, don't know what to do with him. You see, that's what happened. Was Moses was so completely yielded to God, Pharaoh and all the Egyptians didn't know what to do with him, until finally they said, I can't do anything else with you, so just get on out of here. A real true son of God that comes to a mature place, after a while, the devil, he'll circle you. Now, he's not going to leave you alone. But he'll continue to circle you and poke at you and try you until finally the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He said Moses served God so completely until the devil didn't know what to do with him. But you see, it's building up your confidence. All of these things accumulate until you can see God, you can look back in your own life and see God working in your life from your new birth all the way to your present condition. See, God was constantly working in Moses' life all through his journey to vindicate the claim that he was who he said he was. And he is working in the heart of every believer to vindicate the claim in their life of who they say they are. If you say that you are a real, true, born-again believer, God is on the scene to vindicate that claim if it's true. If you're not a hypocrite, he is on the claim. And he was on the scene to vindicate in Moses' life when Moses said, let the river turn to blood. God was on the scene to vindicate that. When he said, let frogs come out, let lice, let fleas, let boils come on the cattle, God was on the scene to vindicate that. And he was on the scene that time you were seeking the new birth. He vindicated your claims as you laid the scripture laid your scripture out there and said, God, I'm confessing what the promise that you already made. He vindicated it. That time you needed healing, that time you had a problem at work, or maybe that time that you were confronted with false doctrine, God came on the scene and delivered you from that. He was there all those times. If you could just look back and see all the times that God was on the scene. Isn't that what Brother Branham was preaching in the seventh seal? When the first time we listened to that, we thought, well, it seems like Brother Branham was talking about himself an awful lot, but he was looking back at his own journey, so knowing that God had taken him from a place. He took him on a journey, and he knew where he was positionally. So let's get to the point of the message. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now Moses makes this bold declaration. Seems like a brave confession, perfectly in line with God's word, perfectly in line with what is about to take place. But then there must be a little gap in this and something hidden there, something that took place. Maybe all of a sudden Moses just felt real downtrodden. Maybe he felt, he didn't feel anything. Maybe he was standing there and he didn't feel the anointing anymore. Now what are you going to do if you don't feel the anointing? Do you have to constantly feel something in your life to know what God wants you to do? Do you have to constantly see lights and see things? Now listen, don't fall asleep on me now. Now's not the time to fall asleep. Arise and possess your inheritance. Let's wake up. Arouse yourself just for a little bit. Brother Brown said, he back there, he waited to say, now Lord, I'm just a baby. Let me tell you now. He's saying back there in the beginning of Moses' life when he was just a baby, Moses could say, let me tell you now. He said, yeah, I'll go do this. I got thus saith the Lord. Brother, is that thus saith the Lord? Yes, yes, Brother Moses, that's thus saith the Lord. Yeah, and it happened. Never failed one time. Never did fail. But he said he wasn't a baby anymore. Now, it might have been fine for him to cry and boo-hoo and look for anointings and things back then, but now he's not a baby anymore. What should the church be? The church should not be something that you have to baby and coddle and say nice things for them to come to church. The church should be at a place where they know what they're here for, and you don't have to prod them to come to church. Brother Brandon said, God had performed everything perfectly. He started them on their journey. He's got the church together. They've been called out. They come from every denomination. And he said, Brother Brown said, and God said, now I've got them started on their journey. They're all done called out. The church is together. So I've got them on their journey. Now, Moses, take them on over. I've told you to. I'm going to sit down and rest a while. Now, what this means, Brother Bob, you're not supposed to interpret what I'm saying. Now listen, God's not going off the scene, but he's got a place of confidence. See, this message is about confidence. When God looks at you and he's got confidence that you know what you're doing, after all this training, all this time, he's brought Moses up into a place. Now you should know what to do. And he's like, okay, Moses, you know what to do. Do it. You know what you're here for. Do it. You don't have to come beg and cry and plead with me to find out what you're supposed to be doing here. You're supposed to know what to do, and you're supposed to just speak and go forward. Brother Brown said, here it is in the circumstances, comes up again. He's got on the journey. The church is already called out, and they're moving up. And Moses started crying out, Lord, is it thus saith the Lord? What must I do? Is it thus saith the Lord for people to be healed? Is it thus, do I need Brother Branham to come back from the grave so that we can have thus saith the Lord? Or do we have confidence in the words that he's already spoken? That they are thus saith the Lord, that when you have a revelation of what God wants done with his word, it is thus saith the Lord, and you don't need to go boo-hoo and cry to find out whether God wants done with the word what he's already said he wants done with the word. He's already put these promises in the word, and you don't have to go cry and grovel at his feet to find out what he wants done with the word. He's already said you can be healed if you believe it. He's already said that we're going to take a body change. We don't have to go cry and grovel to find out if we're going to take a body change. We don't have to cry and grovel to find out if these virtues are required. We know what God wants done with the word, you see. We don't have to, you see, he's talking about Moses, but he's talking about you and I. He's talking about us. Where do you see yourself in this plan right now? Moses said, oh Lord, look coming, here comes Pharaoh. Here comes Pharaoh. After all the things that God had done, how he had, by Moses' mouth, spoke fleas and lice and all the different things, that all the plagues, by Moses' mouth, and now Moses at a place where he said, oh, trembling in his knees, look, here comes Pharaoh. The people are all, what must I do? What must I do? See there, isn't that just human beings? Now see, that's the same thing that we might be doing, looking around at circumstances, looking around at all the pandemic and maybe shaking it out. What are we going to do? I can't go to church now, even if I wear a mask. I'm afraid. Listen, now is not the time to be looking at circumstances. Now is not the time to be looking at the glamour of the world. Now is the time to look forward to the promises of God, what God wants you to fulfill, what he has already said in his word he wants you to do, and to walk in it, and to put one foot in front of the other until you see it being made manifest in your life. And you will see it made manifest in your life because he promised it. We're not following the promises of a man. We're not laying under the shadow of a man, but we're laying under the shadow of the gospel, is what Brother Branham said in this message. We're laying under the shadow of not just some pretense or not just something conjured up, but we're laying under the pretense, we're laying under the shadow of the revealed word of God. Now Brother Branham said, now you remember he had already prophesied here. For he said, these Egyptians that you see today, you'll see no more. And then immediately began to cry out, God, what can we do? See, after he'd done a pretty good job in prophesying there, you see, he done told them what would happen. If the word of God was in him, it was in him. And when he was telling that, it actually come to pass. What he said was already going to come to pass. And here he was crying out, what am I going to do? He had already predicted what they was going to do. That they were going to the promised land. See, we're going to the promised land. And we know where we're going, but don't falter at the Red Sea. You must have confidence in what you believe in. It's time to flex those big faith muscles and stand for something. Brother Brown said he predicted the end of the very nation he was brought up in. Now let's make this present tense for you, because the Bible says in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And that's the seventh trumpet sounding. Yep, right. The seventh trumpet sounds to announce the kingdoms, the end of all the kingdoms of the world. And Brother Ramon said the seventh trumpet parallels the seventh seal, which is what? The end of your overcoming journey. The complete conquering of all of the devil's tricks in your life until God is manifested completely in you. God revealing himself in you. The coming of the Lord, the seventh seal. Amen. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And Moses predicted the very end of the end of the very nation he was brought up in. And the Bible predicts the end of all of the carnal desires, all of the things that you were brought up in. Amen. It predicts the end of all of this carnal nature, that you are going to overcome this flesh. That you are going to see it overcome. The Bible says it's going to be overcome. And look to that. Look that one day you're walking toward that glorified body that's going to be the final. But like Brother Dale says, when that day comes, then you'll know that you've been born again. Oh, that's fantastic. See, he was called for the job. Man wants to rest and let God do the pushing. But God wants you to have confidence in what you believe in, so he doesn't have to keep constantly pushing you and prodding you. Now, didn't I told you you can be healed if you believe. I told you you can receive the new birth. I told you there's a capstone. Didn't I tell you all these things? He wants you to come to a place of maturity. Now, isn't that what maturity is? You see a grown man in the natural acting like a little baby. You're like, that's, something's wrong there. That's not a mature person. The same thing in the spiritual, a preacher or whatever, a minister behind the pulpit, groveling and acting like a little baby. That's odd. That's off kilter. God doesn't want us to be little babies that have to constantly cry and aren't weaned off the bottle yet, but he wants us to know positionally how we're placed and what God wants us to do here. Moses was anointed for the job. His claims were vindicated. It was time for the people to be delivered. Isn't that the case now? It's time for us to take a body change. God had drawn them all together in one group. Now, we're not all grown together in one group physically, but we're all united by faith, by one spirit, one baptism, one truth together. We're all united all around the world. Everything God had promised, he had done it. And he said, Brother Brown said he wanted to wait for this, saith the Lord. And he said the very vindication of his call was thus saith the Lord. He said his job was thus saith the Lord. My, you think about that. I'll be honest. I was thinking about that before I walked out of the office. That if you're a God called minister, that is thus saith the Lord. If you're a God called song leader, that is thus saith the Lord. If you're a God called deacon, if you're a God called whatever it is, if you're a God called housewife, if you're a God called worker in the workplace with your little lunch pail, that is thus saith the Lord. See, a lot of people are waiting for Brother Branham to come back from the dead to give us thus saith the Lord, when you've already got it, because it's already been preached and you've already got thus saith the Lord. Moses was at the Red Sea waiting for thus saith the Lord. I wonder, could we be at the same Red Sea experience tonight, waiting for thus saith the Lord, when we've already got it? And God wants us to recognize that we've already got it. You've already got thus saith the Lord. We've already heard all 1,100 sermons. We've already heard the word preached. We've already heard it all accumulated and built up within us like lively stones built up into a spiritual house, built up until now we should be standing as mature believers, knowing what we're doing and able to speak it. Brother Brown said, God must have got fed up. He said, why are you crying to me? Haven't I already proved my identification? Haven't I told you that I sent you for the job? Didn't I tell you to go do this? Didn't I promise that I'd speak through you? Didn't I promise that I'd show signs and wonders? Didn't I call you? Didn't I say it wasn't you, it was me? Now make that personal. All of those things could be applied to your own life if you will recognize that you have thus saith the Lord. He said, then when any little thing comes up, why you act like a baby? You ought to be a man. And Brother Branham said, whatever it is, if it's sickness or whatever it is to raise the dead or whatever it is, speak. I've proved it. Speak to the people. He said, the church ought to be old enough to speak. And he said, but we don't know that, you see. We're still little babies with a bottle in our mouth. See, he said, what this church ought to be this morning. He went on to explain all the things that we can observe to build, to anoint our faith. Here is the world in its condition. There's the nation in its condition. There's the women in their condition. There's the man in the condition. I was telling the believers in Mobile that Brother Branham in the message, God of this evil age, he really hits on the women. But in the message, Satan's Eden, he hits on the men. And one of the things he hits on was how men and women don't know who they are. They cross dress and all that stuff. And he said, there is the church in the condition. The church that's rejected the truth for their day. And then he says, there is everything. Now, if you can look at all these evidences and observe, look at your own life, look back at all the things that, all the evidences in your own life, all the things, the times that God has been with you, and accumulate all those things together in your heart, looking at the signs of the times that we're living in. That should anoint your faith to know that you're anointed for the job that God has given you, thus saith the Lord, and you're walking in it. And see, then Brother Branham begins to lay out all these examples in the scripture that David was anointed for a job. When Samuel poured that anointing oil on him, he wasn't afraid to go face Goliath. And he went with all of the accumulated experiences of fighting the lion and the bear, that I know that same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear, that delivered those things into my hand, he will deliver you, Goliath, into my hand. He went with all those experiences accumulated in his heart, building up his faith. And you see, Moses should have accumulated all those things, and you and I should have accumulated all those things so that we know who we are, that we're anointed for a job. Joshua was anointed for a job where the Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And he had a job to do. And that's that scripture that Brother Ram, the famous one, the one that we think about in this sermon, why Christ speak, that Joshua in the hour of need knew that he was anointed for the job as he was fighting, as the Israelites were fighting the enemy, and he saw the sun begin to set, and he knew that God had given him a job to destroy the enemy. Not to leave one standing, but to utterly destroy the enemy. See, God has given you a job to see the devil completely destroyed in your life. Completely pushed out. And Joshua had that same, thus saith the Lord, message. That same commission to see the enemy destroyed. And he saw the sun setting and he spoke. He didn't have to go run and ask God permission. Because God had already given him, thus saith the Lord. And he spoke it and he said, son, stands thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And it did. And he didn't maybe know why or how. All he knew was that God had given him a commission. And he was so confident in that commission that God had raised him up for a purpose that he spoke it and it came to pass. David had a job to do. Joshua had a job to do. And Moses had a job to do. And you have a job to do. You have a thus saith the Lord commission to do your job. Brother Bram said Samson was anointed. He was raised up. He was ordained of God, given a gift of power, and ordained to destroy the Philistines. And when he got surrounded one day, he didn't say, oh Lord, what should I do? But he just reached down on the ground and found an old, maybe crumbling up, decaying jawbone of a donkey. And he reached down because he had a thus saith the Lord commission. He didn't have to go beg and plead with God to find out what he was supposed to do. But he grabbed that jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 Philistines. You see, we've got to have that kind of confidence in our commission. You say, well, I'm not a Brother Branham. I'm not a big minister or something. I'm not a big name. Listen, you've got a commission just the same as any big person. You might even be bigger. Brother Branham said he never cried to God talking about Samson. He used his anointed gift. He knew he was sent for the job. He knew he was born for that. Do you see why, why Brother Brown spent so much time laying out how Moses could look back and see the way he was born and the time he came? He knew he was born for the thing, for the job that he was going to take. And see, you can look at your birth, your spiritual birth, and know that you were born for a purpose. He said he never asked nothing. That was his job. That God was dealing through him. He didn't ask no questions. He didn't cry out, "Can I take the Philistines, Lord?" He routed them. Nothing going to bother him. He was anointed for the work. He took what he had and beat into them. And he said, "There is nothing can harm you. There is nothing that can harm you that God doesn't allow. God will allow sickness to come on you to bring you to a place. But his word says that he's a healer. His word says that he took upon himself all those beatings and stripes. He took so that we could be healed." Y'all getting tired on me a little bit? I'm trying to come to a place where I can close. But Brother Bram said, if there ever was a time that man should speak. Now listen close now. If there ever was a time that man should speak, it's now. And he said, no more crying about your purpose, what to do. He said, the bride has the background. The bride has the background, the accumulated anointing. And he went through all these examples. He said, Peter, when he came to the great gate beautiful and he saw the man laying there lame in his feet, he never went off to pray and ask God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to tell this man that he can be healed? He all he did was he said, silver and gold. I don't have any silver and gold, but I tell you, I got something. And if you believe it, you can rise up. He said, rise up and walk in the name of the Lord. And that man did. And not because Peter went off and worked something up, but he had confidence in his commission. He knew what he was predestinated to do. He had a thus saith the Lord commission. Jesus never cried when they brought in the maniac boy to him and said, Satan, come out of him. He never had to go cry and, you know, figure out if it was God's will for that boy to be healed. All he did was he said, Satan, come out of him. He never said, now, wait, I'll kneel down here. All of you kneel down and pray at the tomb of Lazarus. He never said, now, let's all get together and just pray a little bit so that I can figure out if this is God's will. He knew what God wanted. He was God in flesh.
Amen.
Jesus at the grave of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He knew he was the Messiah. And he just spoke, Lazarus, come forth. Do you know that same voice is supposed to cry out in this day? And all of the dead saints will come forth from the graves. That same voice. Brother Bram said he knew his God-given rights. But we don't. He knew what he was. We don't. And he goes on, he says, Moses forgot. He needed to be reminded. But we got all these promises in the Bible of John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, Brother Branham said that when the Bible speaks of, when Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Brother Bram said the same scripture that said he would raise up his body, give us the authority, the power. That same scripture that spoke of Jesus is speaking of you. Because it says, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it won't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's a commission, a thus saith the Lord commission to you. That if you will believe it and walk in it, it will come to pass. See, I believe we're coming to a place where we don't need to go pray up for a while to find out if God really didn't mean what he said. He said it and he meant it. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, knowing your commission, knowing where you stand, knowing what God wants done with a word, speak to the mountain, and it shall be removed. I wonder tonight how many still regard that as just one of those scriptures. I believe that even in our ears, that scripture, even in our sight, that scripture is now beginning to become reality to us. Amen. That now is the time when the sons of God will be made manifest. I believe it's happening because it's been spoken. Brother Branham said in the rapture message, he said, the rapture has been spoken. Now let it come to pass. And Jesus spoke this word and it's now coming to pass. He said in John chapter 15 verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Not somebody just asking for a new car or something, but somebody asking in faith based upon the word, based upon the correct revelation and understanding of the word. And that will give you power and authority to speak it. And you, because you realize that you have that, you have confidence in the word because it's been accumulated in you. It's been built up to a place where now you have confidence in the word and God has confidence in you. Amen. Brother Brown said, why cry to me? The musicians can go ahead and come forward. I'm coming to a closing place. Why are you crying to me when I proved to be with you? Haven't I healed your sick? He'd say, haven't I told you things that happened just exactly? Your pastor can't do that. Now, I love this quote because it sounds so similar to the quote in Looking to the Unseen, where God actually speaks through Brother Branham. This quote is almost a verbatim quote to that. If you will go back and listen to that, at how he says, I'm the one that gave the promise in Looking to the Unseen. And he says, Brother Branham has nothing to do this with this. I'm speaking through him. Now listen to this as I just read this in closing. He said, he's a man. It's me, the Lord, that he would say. I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that tells him these things to say. It's not him. It's my voice. I'm the one that raises up your dead when they drop down. I'm the one that heals the sick. I'm the one that foretells these things. I'm the one that does the saving. I'm the one that give the promise. Yep. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't believe that we've heard a message just from a man, but I believe that was God speaking to us, confirming his word to us, confirming the commission, confirming your personal commission. You believe that tonight? Well, let's just stand and worship the Lord. I hope this was a blessing to you and would build up your confidence.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye
toward Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie.
We're on a journey.
I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Just worship him and rejoice tonight.
Rose wide extended plain shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. No chilling wind nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are feared and felt no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be
ever blessed. When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest?
Amen.
I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. We're bound somewhere and the invitation's open. Who will come with me?
Amen.
Whosoever will. Let's sing another one.
Because He lived. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because He lived, I can face tomorrow.
Amen.
Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know,
yes I know,
He holds my future. My life is worth the living just because He lives. I'll cross that river, I'll find life's fight. No war with pain, and then a change gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory and I know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Guide us into all truth and heal our bodies. Save us, Lord Jesus, and take away our iniquity, Lord God. Lord, You have heard our sister's request, Lord God, and we know that there's already a promise in Your word for her request, Lord God. So we look to that, believing, Lord Jesus, that You'll bring Your word to pass, Lord, in this situation, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord God, that You'll come upon the scene for this need, we pray. Believing, Lord God, we trust You, Lord Jesus, believing in Your promise, in Your name. Amen.
Just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Just because He lives.
Amen.
He died for us so that we could have His life. And He's still alive. That's the, you know, you are actually the walking vindication of Scripture. You are the proof that He still lives. Every breath you take, everywhere you walk, proves that He's still alive. Well, all hearts, minds clear. Anything else?
All right. Let's just go to Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here tonight. Lord God, I know that you're with us, Lord Jesus. I know, Lord God, that you're still moving amongst your people, Lord Jesus. You promised you'd never leave us or forsake us, Lord God. And I know you were here tonight with us, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you just minister to every soul, Lord God, that might be listening in tonight. And Lord God, grant them a special touch, Lord Jesus, that you'll know that you're with them, Lord God. Lord, be with all the ones as they go their separate ways tonight, Lord Jesus, leaving in their cars and things, that you'll watch over them, Lord God, and protect and keep them safe. Grant it, Lord God, that you'll just be with your people, Lord, and continue to accumulate these truths in their heart, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, Lord, that something, Lord, that you promised your word would not return void, Lord. I just pray, believing, Lord, that something was said tonight, Lord, that will stir something in the believers, Lord God, that'll make them read more, Lord Jesus, pray harder, study more, Lord God, to know you more, Lord God, something hungering and thirsting in their hearts, Lord, like Amram and Jochebed, Lord God, to see your promises be fulfilled, looking at the signs of the times, knowing the day and the hour that we're living in, that now is the time for the manifestation of the sons of God, for your word to be fulfilled. Now is the time. We believe it, Lord God, and we're looking for it. Grant it, Lord, that you'll go with your people, Lord Jesus, as we dismiss in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Because he lives.